Do you want to be made well? That's actually the title of the sermon this morning, and that actually comes directly out of the scripture that we're going to be looking at. The text today being John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. It's picking up where we left off last Sunday. But before we get into this, I'd like to point out that there's going to be opportunity at the end of the message for anyone that feels a nudge, a tug, a draw to come to Jesus. Perhaps you need to be made well. Perhaps you need spiritual healing. Perhaps you need the Lord to work something in your life. Perhaps you realized as we were singing, "It is well with my soul," that there is something that has been missing. Perhaps as we look at the scripture, you'll have a desire. There would be something here that puts a desire in your heart to come to Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 1, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, 'It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed.' He answered them, 'He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk.' And they asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.' The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well." Now, to guide us in our reflection this morning, I want to do something very simple here. And that is, I want to pick up on and have us think about these three phrases or these three statements that Jesus used. That's the outline. Those three phrases are actually the first one in the form of a question: do you want to be made well? Then secondly, take up your bed and walk. And then thirdly, sin no more. So let's start with that first one, which I've already noted is a question. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And that may seem like a crazy thing to say to someone that had an infirmity, yes, for 38 years. It may seem like a ridiculous thing to put before an individual that apparently was seeing numerous other people being healed, but was stuck, having no one to help him to get into the pool where people found healing. I wonder, had this man given up all hope, or did he think about it just wasn't fair that other people had this opportunity and he did not have this opportunity? Was he in despair? Did he have a terrible attitude at this point? What all was going on after all this time, after all these years, and seeing what he saw? Roger Fredrickson, in his commentary on John, puts it like this: "So Jesus' question, 'Do you want to be made well?' seems quite unnecessary. But how can Jesus cut through the excuses and defenses that have grown like layers of fat and get through some deep untouched shred of hope within the man? A longing just to get up and go home, to take up the frustrating, challenging responsibilities of everyday life. Will he hear and obey? Roger goes on to say, so often people succumb to their illness, bedding down with their alcoholism or heart trouble or partial paralysis or whatever, so they become psychological and spiritual invalids, retreating within themselves, avoiding responsibilities and becoming more and more self-centered as they demand sympathy from others. And every now and then, he said, in dealing with this kind of defeated person, I've asked the question, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? The question has implications also in the spiritual realm. I'd like you to notice what Jesus had to say in verses 37 to 40 of John 5. The Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. Isn't that an interesting thing? Folks not willing to come to Jesus to experience and receive the very thing that he came to make available and to provide for them. Well, there are people that need spiritual healing that have not been willing to turn to the healer. There are people with sin sickness that know about Jesus, but I have not been interested in coming to him. Do you want to be healed? God said this through the ancient prophet Malachi, to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Peter, in referring to Jesus, said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. So do you want to be healed spiritually? Do you want to be in right relationship with the Lord? Do you want inner peace? Do you want life more abundantly? Do you want to have assurance of eternal life? Do you want forgiveness from wrongdoing against God? If so, you need to turn to Jesus, because he is the healer. He is the Savior. He is the one that makes it possible for us to sing, it is well with my soul. Do you notice that the name of the pool where the healing spoken of in our text took place? It says in verse 2, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. I find it interesting that this word, this literally means house of kindness. And some of the varied spellings of Bethesda would make it house of mercy or house of grace. Isn't that neat? When we come to the pool that has been stirred by the angels, as it were, when we come to Jesus, we experience God's kindness and mercy and, yes, his grace. Do you want to be made well? The second phrase spoken of by Jesus in the account that we're looking at this morning is take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. So let's notice again verses 7 to 9. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool where the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Now, what happened to this individual was absolutely phenomenal. Would you not agree with that? He was healed. Totally, completely. He was able to do things he hadn't done in almost four decades. It was an incredible thing. It was a miracle. It was a work of God. It was supernatural. The other day, Diane, and you have to know this about my wife, she keeps a diary. So every now and then she'll say, well, you know, 1 year ago today or 2 years ago today. So the other day, Diane shared an entry in her diary from 1 year ago, and it noted that I mowed the front lawn for the first time since that bulging disc of mine had created all that consternation for me. And I remember that day, riding in the front lawn, going ever so slowly, taking it real easy. But I did it. Hooray! Praise the Lord. You know, when God does something, we pick up our bed and move on. Now, in Acts chapter 9, verses 31 to 35, we read about another incident. I want to share this with you. Acts chapter 9, verses 31 to 35. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwell in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, one of the things that happened as the supernatural phenomena took place, as his healing took place, is that God was glorified and that other people were drawn to the Lord because of it. The MSG puts it like this. Everybody who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him walking around and woke up to the fact that God was alive and active among them. And folks, I hope we take note of that. God being alive and active among us. We see that in the things that the Lord does. Now, is everyone healed supernaturally, instantaneously, completely? No. But that doesn't mean that there can't be a powerful witness that goes forth as people pick up their spiritual bed and walk with the Lord. To illustrate this, let me share about two individuals whom many of you know. Many of you have actually been ministered to by them. But these individuals make it obvious that God is alive and active. The first person is Sue Thomas. Sue Thomas, she was just here the other week, but she became profoundly deaf when she was 18 months old. Experienced all sorts of challenges along the way, including being bullied by other kids in school. For a number of years now, Sue has dealt with MS, multiple sclerosis. This past December, she had a stroke. In the midst of all this, though, Sue continues to travel nationally and internationally, telling people not just about her stint of working for the FBI, but telling of her walk with the Lord. And after the presentation the other Sunday evening, I heard one of you say, boy, that was powerful. Her witness, her testimony. Now, the second person is Bob Mortimer. Now, Bob grew up in this church and had the full use of his body. But later on in life, because of what we see as a very unfortunate event, as an accident, he lost both legs and one of his arms. Bob has also become a motivational speaker, traveling all over the place, going hither and yon, telling audiences about Jesus. And several years ago, perhaps it's been more than just several now, time goes by so quickly, Bob amazed people when he bicycled across the country from all the way across using just that one limb of his. But according to his family, and now what's happened more recently is that he's had rotator cuff surgery on that one arm. And so he's really dependent upon others at this point in time. But his family is telling us that while Bob is there in going through rehab and all of that, that he is being a witness to the folks around him and sharing with them in testimony and getting books into their hands. So he is continuing with his ministry. What does it mean to take up your bed and walk? Well, spiritually speaking, it means to move on with the Lord. It means to allow Jesus to bring healing into your life and then to be a channel of blessing to others where God's healing and hope flow through us to the people around us. And it becomes a testimony to other individuals. What does it mean to take up your bed and walk? Well, Micah 6:8 says, walk humbly with your God. Romans 6:24, Paul said to walk in newness of life. According to 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk by faith. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love. So, are you walking with the Lord? Or do you need to turn to Jesus this morning and respond to his call to this one who wants to touch you and to renew you and to save you and to... He wants to raise you up, to set you free, to send you forth. And so he says, take up your bed and walk. Well, do you want to be made well? Take up your bed and walk. Now, I was noting earlier that there were actually three statements that Jesus made here in the account that we're looking at this morning. The third statement that he made in this passage is sin no more. Sin no more. So we're looking at verse 14 in particular now. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, if we were in a classroom this morning, or if we were in a classroom right now, we might have some lively discussion, and I would actually invite that, but we would talk, for example, about the relationship that might exist, not necessarily, but that might exist between sin and sickness. Is there ever a connection between the two? Is there ever a connection when such is the case, and what would be the implications of all that? But this morning, I want us to concentrate primarily, though, on the three words of Jesus to this fellow that was healed. Go. Sin no more. Or sin no more are the three words. Sin no more. Now, we find another incident where Jesus had... use that same phrase, actually also in John's Gospel, but this time in chapter 8. There was a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, and this woman's accusers came to Jesus, and they were calling attention to all this, and actually they were trying to trap Jesus with something he would possibly say in response, but what did Jesus do, or how did he respond? I'm not sure that they were totally understanding what was up here, because they saw him stoop down and write something with his finger there on the ground. When pressed about the matter, he said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And one by one, the accusers left. And when it was just Jesus and the woman left, he said, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? That's verse 10. And according to verse 11, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." There's that phrase again, sin no more. When a person is touched by the Lord, when a person experiences His grace, it's assumed that they will leave behind their sinful practice or their sinful lifestyle and become a follower of Christ and walk in the newness of life that He, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, will enable them to do. It doesn't mean that a person will never fall short of their calling or that they will never need to seek forgiveness along the way. The Bible says, thankfully and wonderfully, in 1 John 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Had occasion just yesterday, someone happened to be here at our breakfast, and we were together aside for a little bit in chatting, and it just seemed this person needed to hear those words. So I had shared them with that individual. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need to hear those words as well. We confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does it mean to go and sin no more? It does mean that a person seeks to please the Lord, to walk in His steps, to follow Him, to leave behind the things that they may have been entrenched in or in the things they may have been in captivity to previously. So, do you need to move on with the Lord? Do you need to be made well? Do you want to be healed spiritually? Will you take up your bed and walk this morning? Walk toward Jesus and then walk with Him. Will you do so today? Now, I said after the sermon there would be an opportunity to make a response to the Lord. And after I pray, perhaps while I'm praying, if Pastors Richard and Maxine want to come up and get into place, they'll be here at the front for us this morning. But I'll share a little bit more about what's up after I pray, and we'll be singing an invitational song here. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are, that You are the Lord God Almighty, Savior, Healer, Helper, Deliverer, Sanctifier. We could go on and on, but we thank You that You have invited us to come to You. And we pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would continue to be at work now, helping us to hear Your voice and to do that which You desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few questions yet here. Have you been held captive by something? Perhaps you've felt unable to move on. Is there a burden that needs to be lifted so that you can walk out of here in freedom? Were you unable perhaps to sing, "It is well with my soul," but you want that? Do you need to renew your commitment to Christ today? Is it your desire to become a follower of Jesus? Do you need to be saved from your sin? And there probably are other things, and I'm just going to allow the Spirit to speak to you and to draw you. Come, and Richard or Maxine will be here to greet you, to pray with you, or if you want further conversation, that will be an option as well.